I want to start with a passage from Acts chapter 17. And Paul has gone to Athens, and Athens was a melting pot of philosophies and religions. And they had lots and lots of temples, and they were very religious. And some of them even thought, well, maybe we're missing something about God. And so they built a temple to the unknown God. And Paul goes around and observes all this and goes to the place where they have discussions. And he basically says, you've built temples, but God is bigger than temples. He doesn't dwell in temples made by men, but he's made everything. And he's sorted out human history so that people might seek him. And then he says this in chapter 17, verse 27, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. And then Paul quotes some local Greek and philosophers and poets from Crete and other places where he says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. And then he goes on to basically say people have worshipped God and in maybe ignorance, but God has sent Jesus so that we can know accurately what God is like. And that's so true, isn't it? Often we can figure out some things about God but just by considering the nature of the universe or life or whatever else. But then there's a point where we go, is that what really God is like? And Christians would say, actually, God has taken steps to reveal God to us accurately and completely and uniquely in the person of Jesus. And so we can get to know what God is like more fully through the person of Jesus. But I think it's remarkable here that one of the things that even people who hadn't heard about Jesus before had grasped was that somehow we are with God. God is with us in this world. We are his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being. These are great insights that are common to many people, that somehow there is God with us. And that's a really profound thing. We're not just isolated people going through this universe without any sense of purpose or meaning or ultimate reality. We're not just alone in this vast universe, but somehow God is with us. And we talk a lot about in church that with is one of the words that we want to live by. And that's the with God life. We looked last week at the Bible and we saw that the theme of temple actually goes through the whole of the Bible. And the thing about the temple is it's a place where God resides. And we see that the Bible teaches us that this world is a temple and it's a place where God resides. So that whether you're in a church building or whether you're in your own home or whether you're down the street or whether you're in your workplace, it's all part of God's great universe and it's all places where God is. And so there is no special place we have to go to be with God. Wherever we are, God is with us. But there's an interesting question then for us. Is God may well be with us, but are we with God? You know, and to understand this, you know, you might be in a house. And maybe Chris has said this in the past to me, but maybe she's been in a home and I've been in our home and then she's been saying, David, David, and she's been yelling out and I've been just oblivious to her voice, oblivious to her wanting to connect with me or talk with me or whatever else. And so although we were in the house together, she was with me, I was not with her. There's a song that is play it on the radio and on Spotify and other places like that. Are you with me? And that's really like the question I think that God asks us. I'm with you, but are you with me? Are you with me? And I think that particular song is about being on holidays together in Mexico, but that's the question for us is God is with us, but are we with God? And in fact, when Jesus called his first disciples to be with him, it's really interesting that the first task of being a follower of Jesus in those days and similarly today is this. And it says in Mark chapter 3, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. And then there's other things that he appointed them to do. But the first thing was, as followers of Jesus, is that God calls us and appoints us to be with him, to pay attention to him. We don't have to go searching far and wide because God is with us. And so the first task for us as, and privilege and opportunity for us is to be with God. But then there is another move that happens, and Jesus talked about this when he's talking about the Spirit of God in John chapter 14. And this is when he's preparing his disciples for the fact that he is going to leave this world. And he says he's going to send the Spirit of truth in chapter 14, verse 18. I will... the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And that's a remarkable thing, you see, that there's several movements, if you like, about this. And let me see if I can just get... There are several aspects to growing in the with God life. The first is this, is knowing that God is with us. And the second is choosing to be with God. And then thirdly, opening our lives to God so that God comes to live within us. Now, what does it mean for God to live within us? Well, you might have heard the phrase, or even got the phrase where someone's talking about someone else and then says, they've got inside my head. And that's often in a negative connotation, you know, that some other person has done something, so it's messing with their thought processes or whatever else. But in a more positive way, maybe you've had the experience of like being in sync with someone else, you know, when you can just look across the room and you know what they're thinking without them having to say anything. And you're in agreement about it, and you can sort of act and cooperate together because you're in sync together. And you're thinking what they're thinking, you see. And at the very least, to have God within us means that we begin to think about things the way God thinks about things. You see, there are two parts to the, I guess another way we can look at this, and that is this can be seen as moving from thinking about God being with us in life to thinking with God about life. The first step is to think, yes, God is real. God exists. God is with us. And I am with God. We're not far from each other. We can interact. But then as God becomes within our lives, then what we find is that we begin to think about our life the way God is thinking about our life. We begin to think about our relationships and our interactions and our work and our priorities the way God is thinking about all of those things. And how can we cooperate with God and help to grow in this reality of a God being within us so that we are thinking God's thoughts after God, that we are thinking about our circumstances along together with God? Well, there's one really simple thing that we can do, and that is that we can memorize parts of the Bible. And we're going to talk a bit about scripture memorization, but I wanted to start it with all of that preceding conversation because the point is not memorizing the Bible. The point is learning the language of God, learning the thoughts of God so that we can be with God more, so that God can inhabit our thoughts more. Now, God doesn't need us to memorize the Bible to speak to us or to be in our thoughts. But it really, really helps. So Celia and I are just going to have a bit of a conversation about this because different people have different experiences about this whole scripture memorization thing. And so hopefully as you hear a different voice than just mine, you'll have a different take on this that you might find helpful for you as well going forward. So hey, Celia, do you want to just give us a brief intro about your introduction to scripture memorization and how you found it in the subsequent years?
Interesting, you did your whole talk this morning and talking about looking at life with God and looking out sort of through God's eyes into your life and into the life of those around you, because I found that when I became a Christian, which was about 40 years ago, that it was like delving into a completely new culture and a new language. Even though the Bible that I read was in English, it was like opening my eyes up to a completely different world. And it was so exciting and so consuming that it sort of meant that I would get up at 4:30 in the morning before I started work at 7 a.m. I'd get up at 4:30 and spend an hour just reading the Bible by myself before I'd get ready for work. And it was just so exciting. And part of that journey was actually memorizing scripture, because I had a mentor called Lydia, who brought me to the Lord, and she actually said that this would be something that I could take with me through my life and through each day. And it really did help just to have just those grounding words just going around my head and being able to use that through my busy day on the wards. So.
Okay. Yeah, so what were some of the benefits of that that you saw?
It gave me a perspective of me not being alone on the ward as the sole Australian nurse, but it gave me a perspective that God was with me, in a sense, ministering through me to the other staff and to the patients. So it gave me an understanding. I was just newly married. It gave me a deeper understanding of Mike and of our marriage. It just opened up a whole new world in different ways.
I can remember when I was a young person, maybe in early teenagers, I was doing scripture memorizing too, and we had, I can't remember where it got up from, but lists of verses to memorize, and I had them on little cards and I would read them and practice them and then come back and do them. And I can still remember some of those verses to this day, you know, 40 years later, and they sort of become part of the fabric of your life, you know. So, like, you know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. I've needed to remember that verse lots of times over the last 40 years and on a regular basis. But it's one of the verses that was on my, you know, scripture memorization list that I then did. So tell me, I guess, a bit practically, how do you go about memorizing stuff?
Oh, well, these days I find it quite tricky, because I don't think my brain works as as sharply or as well as it used to. I think I found a new technique. And that is just to add one word at a time. Just to start with reading a passage that I really like, something that I find really helpful, or something that springs out of the page at me and that really ministers to me or to a situation, and then I read it through a few times, and then I go back and I'm cooking or I'm doing something around the house, and I'll just have that scripture open, and I'll just think of the first word. And then I'll think of the first word and the second word. So it's like, if it was the Lord is my shepherd, it would be the, like, not a, but the. And then the Lord. And then that Lord is. Not was, not will be, but the Lord is. The Lord is my, not anyone else's. Doesn't matter. The Lord is my, and what is he? The Lord is my shepherd. And just going through each word, I find my brain can cope with one more word. And And I find that I'm sort of almost bathing in it and meditating on each word just as it flows. And I don't know what the next word is often, so I'll go over and have a look. Oh, it's, you know, and then come back and then the next word will I can work on. But I found that easier than trying to remember a whole or read through a whole sentence or a whole verb. Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Yeah, no, I mean, we have in previous years suggested that people try and memorize whole chunks of scripture, like the Lord, the 23rd Psalm or whatever else. And if you are going to memorize lots of verses, memorizing verses in sequence is easier than disparate verses. But I think it's exactly right. Starting small is actually a really important and really valuable thing to do. And it's not about perfection, you know. It's not like, oh, I've got the word, is it the or an, or, you know, is it us or them? And you can get sort of all caught up. Now, there is in the process of learning it, there's sort of a precision. You need to go back and check the words or whatever else. But once you've done that, it's the, I'm recalling it when I'm in the garden or I'm on the train or whatever else it is. And it's not about, have I got it exactly? It's not like a test to recall the words exactly right. And God's saying, actually, David, you got the fifth word in that verse wrong. No, yeah. Because it's about it being internalized to us. And although this, like that verse I said before, 1 John 1:9, I can remember, there's other verses that I've memorized along the way that I can't recall anymore, but they've become part of the fabric of me, or the meaning or the sense of them has become part of the fabric of them for me. So, yeah. So now, obviously, the Bible's really important, but there are some parts of the Bible, if we're thinking about memorizing, are actually more important or more helpful than others. I mean, we could spend our time measuring, you know, memorizing big slabs of the Bible, but if we have limited capacity and limited time, it makes sense for us to really focus in on some particular verses that you know, deliver bang for your buck, if you like, that really help us think God's thoughts after God. So do you have any particular verses that have, over the journey or even recently, have been helpful or important for you?
Yeah, I do. Like, as a young girl, I learned the Lord's Prayer because it was part of my Catholic tradition. And I still today, like last week, we didn't have prayer on Friday mornings, but I still sat down and I prayed the Lord's Prayer slowly through for the church. And I still find it an extremely powerful prayer to pray, not only for myself, but also for other people, and then for a group of people like the church, and I find it's very powerful to use Jesus' actual words to talk to his Father and our Father. So that's for me a standalone, but I do love Psalm 23. I like the fact that it's been sung a lot down the ages, and I think a lot of people couldn't read. Correct me if I'm wrong, David, but a lot of people couldn't read or didn't have access to the scriptures through the centuries as Christians, and so a lot of verses got put to song, and that was one way of Bible memorization. And I think that Psalm 23 is one. I know when I was a child, we used to have to go to funerals across the road from the church, from the school, and sing. And it was always Psalm 23 that we would sing. And it's still there today. But I do find it a verse, a psalm that talks a lot about care and about God's care for me. So I still enjoy that. Even in the night, and it's lovely to think that you can have the scripture with you even in the dark. You know, you don't need the light on in order to dwell with God in scripture. So Psalm 23, I like verses 2 that help people. I like Philippians 4:4-6 or 7, where it talks about anxiety and casting your cares upon him, and and using prayer as a tool to unburden yourself. And that's something that I think is really important for people to know. And I think having the verse actually helps to bed that down for me and to have confidence to be able to say that to people.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of verses that talk about creation and praising God, especially in the Psalms. And I find, you know, that you know, I can watch a sunrise or a sunset and say, you know, as far as the east is from the west, you know, that's how far, you know, my sins are away. So you know, just things like that that will just trigger verses to come through nature. I just love all that. And I've just started hiking again now that my feet are behaving themselves. And there's a lot of verses that talk about paths, that talk about ways or guiding us or things like that. Yeah. And I find that is also useful, especially maybe in the times that we've had with COVID where we haven't been able to walk very far for a start, or haven't known even as a nation or as a planet exactly what's going to happen next. Devastation to another. But one of the things that was really helpful to our group, to our Mad Hatters group, was a particular verse that came up in Romans that is very precious to one of our members, and I learnt that and encouraged everyone to learn that. And that was Romans 15, verse 13, where it talks about hope and peace and joy. And we actually did a group, Joy and Peace, through COVID with you. But also I think that having peace and joy is something that's profound and very deep and sort of a base. Yeah. Sort of life, and to have God's peace and joy was something that I clung to during COVID. So that's something.
Yeah, that verse goes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him."
With hope by the power of God.
Yeah, fantastic verse.
Yeah, it's a wonderful verse, and people embroider verses, like this particular home group member embroidered that verse, but I've embroidered verses and people, you know, have photos with verses superimposed on them and artistry and things like that. But there's also
fantastic ones. Thanks for that, Celia. So we just really encourage you, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, have a crack at doing some more Bible memorizing. Mm. It'll help you. It'll help, first of all, build your awareness that God is with you. And the verses like "the Lord is my shepherd" will help you remember more truly what God is like. And then verses like the one about hope and about the one in Philippians about anxiety will help us see the world around us through God's eyes, if you like. Now, you might think, I'm terrible at memorizing. I couldn't possibly do that. Well, I was watching a TED talk during the week, and it was about a person that says, they're saying, well, try this. Just try something that is better than doing nothing. You know, it's like you're sitting on the couch and you can't find a decent TV show to watch, and you've got Netflix and Prime and Stan and Binge and Foxtel and Free-to-Air and iView and whatever else. You've got a million different streaming platforms, but you can't find anything to watch. And you think, well, what can I do? Well, better than nothing, you might just like to think about not even a whole verse, but just this little bit of a verse. And I reckon this is a bit of a verse that you probably already know. You may not know the reference, but that's okay. Who cares about that? It's this 1 John chapter 4 and some part of verse 8. And it's only one quarter of the verse. There's 12 words in this verse. And it's only three words, and they are this: God is love. And so you already probably know that. You already have remembered that. You know, that's a bit of Bible memorization you've already done. It's for free, right? You don't even have to worry about trying to embed it in your mind. You've already got it. Because the point is not the memorizing, it's what we do with the memorizing. It's not that we, you know, pass a test, but that it's words that are now within us, so that when we've got nothing better to do, when we can't find the next TV show to watch, when we can't find another weed to pull out, when we can't be bothered reorganizing or cleaning up a bit any more of the house or doing that project, we can just stop and think about and recall and even quietly whisper to yourself, God is love. And the words that are within you, just bring them up into your conscious awareness and in even saying them. And God is love. And the benefits that you will find of just thinking about that through your days and through your weeks might inspire you. Well, maybe I can remember three more words, or maybe a few more words, like the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Anyway, we could probably go on for a long time encouraging people, couldn't we, Celia? Because we are, but it was time to draw our online stream to a close. But thank you so much for being online and sharing with us your thoughts and experiences today, Celia, and hope it's been encouragement to people.
Thank you.
Let me finish with a prayer. God, we thank you that you are with us. Help us to more fully appreciate the great opportunity of being with you. And God, we pray that whether we're people with super memories or people with fading memories, Lord, that you would help us just to internalize some more of your words, and that we would be outside, and that you would help us to recall them through the moments of our lives, God, so that we can know more fully the experience of you being with us, you being in our thoughts, and us thinking about our lives and our circumstances and the world around us the way you are thinking about our lives and our circumstances and the world around us. Amen.